episode 76.
So 2009, we did, just doing Volkswagens, we did almost $2 million in business with 10 employees, which was incredible. And we had some unbelievable car count. And then we got sued by Volkswagen Audi, not only corporate, but personally.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hello, aftermarketers. Carm Capriotto here, and welcome to episode 76 with Alan Ollie Gelfand, brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Brands like Moog, Felpro, Wagner Brake, Champion, Seal Power, FP Diesel, and more. They're the parts techs trust. Find out more from fmmotorparts.com. Skateboarding legend Alan Ollie Gelfand, a businessman for 26 years, owns German Car Depot in Hollywood, Florida. His career track to get where he is today has taken on some very interesting turns. As a skateboarding legend who created the world-famous Ollie to autocross state champion and repair shop owner, Alan Ollie Gelfand has a great story, and he's not bashful to tell it. Alan shares his perspectives on taking care of your customers, and they will tell two people, what his dad taught him many years ago that still holds true today, and how he survived a life-changing event, a lawsuit from VW, that you will never, ever want to go through. If you've ever raced as a young man or even raced today, you'll have fun listening to Ollie talk about his passion for racing. You'll also find he's big on SEO, making sure web queries find his 10-bay service center. His shop is a Bosch car service center, and he works with Automotive Management Network and a 15 group. A self-admitted person with ADD, Alan's enthusiasm brings a feel of diversion to this episode. Here we go with Alan Ollie Gelfand, service professional, entrepreneur, racer, and skateboarding legend. Well, Ollie, you've had an interesting road to success to where you are today, from, yes, a skateboarding legend to VW having some fun with you.
Sure.
What's going on here?
Well, I guess we had a lot of fun with them because we raced them for 20 years. So,
yes, that's right. I heard that story. Can you tell me about that racing thing?
Well, yeah, we raced Volkswagens amateur and on a professional level. Always Volkswagens, pretty much, until the end. We did a Porsche for a year. But it's always been our passion. Started out as a race shop, basically. And then a buddy of mine said, listen, I can't race this year. I got to do some family stuff. So, we have this whole big shop and a bunch of people working for me. Let's do an automotive shop. So then the race shop turned into an automotive sales shop. And then it turned into being an automotive repair shop. We had great mechanics.
So I see on your bio, you're the winner of 4 24-hour races and 3 12-hour race German cars.
Well, we raced Volkswagen Rabbits way back in the day. And it's very funny when we first started racing them, you used to have to be conservative. And you had to, it was a thinking man's race. You had to think, oh, well, if I turn a 239, I'll have to stop, let's say, two more times and change brakes, an extra two times, and that will take X amount of time. And so you had to think always. And then if I turned, 7,500 RPM, I have a chance of the motor braking, but I'm going to go faster. But I'm going to use more fuel, so I have to make an extra couple stops. So it was always a thinking man's race. And then toward the end, the cars, we got so reliable that everybody was just going as fast as possible for 24 hours, and it was pretty neat, and just a lot of strategy. It was really a lot of strategy. And then we went on, raced a bunch of other stuff, 12-hour stuff in Sebring, and then we got into some professional racing and raced a Volkswagen Corrado, which was a supercharged car, which was kind of a nightmare because the supercharger, you could turn 11,500 RPM. If you went 12,000 RPM, it would blow up in the near future, meaning that either in 4 hours or maybe the next time you took it out. So downshifting, you had to be very careful. And that was a thinking person's race. And I've always considered myself a thinking man's racer. I wasn't always the fastest racer, but I definitely was one of the smarter guys out there.
And you were the driver?
Myself and a friend of mine, yeah, were the drivers most of the time, as a buddy of mine who was an attorney who had the money. I had the shop, and that's how I worked it out.
Good marriage. What would you say if I told you there's a new brake pad on the market that can stop a pickup SUV or CUV up to 50 feet sooner than other leading pads, and it lasts up to twice as long as the previous designs? You'd probably tell me, prove it, right? Well, that's exactly what Wagner Brake is doing with their new Wagner OEX brake pads. In independent third-party testing, Wagner OEX brake pads stopped up to 50 feet sooner than other leading brake pads. Yeah, you heard that right, up to 50 feet. The testing was performed by Link Engineering, and they're pretty much the industry standard when it comes to brake performance testing, so it's reliable proof. But Wagner, they didn't stop there. They asked 400 top technicians to put Wagner OEX pads to the test, where it matters most, in their shops and on their customers' vehicles. 99% said they saw a noticeable difference in the new brakes, and 95% said they'd likely recommend them to other professionals and their customers. Now, you can get Wagner OEX brake pads in your shop. They'll be available soon nationwide with coverage for 95% of U.S. pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. To check coverage and learn about some of the science that went into creating Wagner OEX, check out WagnerBrake.com. So you had all these guys working for you. You decided to get out or just open a real shop for the public?
Well, my buddy, who was the money man behind it, he had some big trials coming up and some other things going on. And so he said, you know what? I can't race this year. But now I've got this whole shop, and I've got a bunch of guys working for me. I can't let the guys go. So we actually, what happened was we sold a car. And God, that was so simple. That was awesome. We just made $2,000, not even trying. And we sold Volkswagens and bought and sold Volkswagens and a lot of diesels back then, the old diesels, and everyone that we built, you know, we'd find any car for a few hundred bucks and we'd fix it. And we were great at building motors. We used to have, you know, 10 or 12 motors for our race cars always. So we just built motors all the time. And it was like second nature. And back in the old days, you know, micrometers and checking things out and blueprinting an engine, you knew it would work and wouldn't work, you know? And so we did that for a long time and built it up to a business, moved out of the old warehouse, then had a very messed up warehouse with it was long and narrow, so you had to go underneath lifts to get to the back of the shop if cars were on the front lifts. It was terrible. But we did a pretty good amount of cars with three bays and one outside lift, so four lifts. And, you know, we had three guys and four lifts, and we were happy for a long time.
Was this before or after your great fame with skateboarding?
Skateboarding was my whole lifelong thing. This is from when I was 14 years old all the way till, and I quit for a bunch of years and went racing. So in 81, I kind of, skateboarding went downhill. I went and quit skateboarding and went into autocross, a Volkswagen again. I bought a Volkswagen with my money from skateboarding. I'll never forget, it was $10,200 in 1981.
Whoa, a lot of money back then.
And I bought a brand new Volkswagen Scirocco, and the third day I had it, I pulled the engine out. And I had no knowledge. I was going to Sheridan Vocational School. I had no knowledge of cars. I didn't know what I was doing. But I built an engine for it, and I put suspension on it before people did coilovers, and I autocrossed it and became like state champion autocross. And then I got into go-kart racing in the 83, 84, and I won the state championship in go-kart racing. And I was always also crewing on race cars. And one of the cars that I worked on, the gentleman said, listen, if you win the Grand National Championships, this is 1986, you can race the car next year. So, you know, for damn sure, I'm gonna try and win that son of a gun. There's 100 people in your class with the same stuff. And we went there a week early and begged, borrowed, and stole everything we could possibly do. And we won that race in the freezing cold, guy who wasn't used to any kind of cold from Florida, and won the Grand National Championship, you know, first WKA Grand National Championship in 1986.
Sure.
And went on to race a Sports 2000, a Ford 2000 motor car for a while. And it just, you know, extended from there.
It just blossomed from there.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. And as always, you know, always very anal about how we prepped the car. I was always very much into making sure everything was right. You know, back then we used torque wrenches on everything. It was kind of crazy.
Sure.
I yelled at the guys if they didn't use a torque wrench on something.
Yeah. You know? Were you this exacting as far as a scientist when it came to your mechanical ability when it comes to being a skateboarder?
Well, I would get – I'm ADD, so I would fixate on something, and I would just not stop. I mean, literally, I would go to the skate park at, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, and they close at 10 o'clock at night. And I could be literally trying something until I make it for the whole entire time I'm there, not realizing anybody else is around me or anything. I could just hyper-focus on this. And that's how I invented this no-handed aerial, the Ollie. Just, it was kind of by accident, but then, you know.
What year was that?
That was 1977, 1976, right around there.
Uh-huh.
No one knew it, what it was, because it wasn't like a noticed trick until years later.
How did it get to be the staple? I've done research, been on YouTube. I saw this video on the Ollie. Young men saying, if you don't know the Ollie, you can't really skateboard. Just don't even think of skateboarding. The Ollie, it's the basic move. Now, I'm not a skateboarder, but I'm fascinated with this in the Ollie.
Well, it's amazing that you know, it's the basis for all tricks. You can't get onto a ledge or a handrail without popping the board and get up there, and you don't hold up your hand. So it was just back then, it was done out of necessity. They didn't have handicap curbs on sidewalks. So you have to pop up the sidewalk unless you wanted to pick your board up. You don't want to do that. So you kind of could pop up the sidewalk. And
for you, it was just a natural thing, or did you just have to figure it out?
Oh, yeah, they had to figure it out. I mean, a lot of tries, years of trying before I could pull it off, you know.
Well, in the late 90s, the audience needs to know, the Oxford Dictionary gave you credit as the originator of the Ollie. And in 2006, Merriam-Webster followed suit and added Gelfand and Ollie to its dictionary. How did that make you feel?
I can never die, because once you're in the Oxford English Dictionary, they don't take you out.
Being a top technician takes a lot of hard work, and you can't do it alone. I believe you would agree, vehicle technologies, repair procedures, and diagnostics are changing every year. That's where Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Guru Garage can help. The Garage Gurus program has been designed by and for technicians and offers the most comprehensive program of support tools in the industry. There's a nationwide network of Guru on-site training and technology centers where you can get hands-on training with the equipment and tools needed to solve real work-related challenges. And when you can't make it to on-site training, there's Gurus Online, a 24/7 online academy with a huge catalog of course options. Garage Gurus also helps where it matters most, on the job, in your shop. Their Gurus on the Go technology fleet, well, they bring the latest products and technology demos right to you. If you need a quick part lookup, the Gurus On Demand app gives you fast, easy, and accurate info. And when you need help with a technical issue, their bilingual ASE-certified Gurus On Call are ready to help. And this year, they're introducing their Garage Rewards loyalty program, which gets you points towards free gear from your favorite Federal Mogul Motor Parts brands. It costs nothing to join, and you could start earning points immediately. So head on over to fmgarageGurus.com, learn all about the Garage Gurus program, and start earning points today. What wakes you up at 2 o'clock in the morning?
What wakes me up? My Google Analytics. I'll have to sit at that stuff and look at it for hours, you know. How do I get, you know, how do I get people to my site, and how do I get people to my shop, convert them? That's something that fascinates me to this day, just, how it all works.
Are you going to do anything special next year to move your company forward?
Well, yeah, we bought another company that went out of business. We just went from doing just Volkswagen Audi to actually doing Mercedes, BMW, and Mini Cooper.
That's a big move.
So, unfortunately, the mechanics that I was going to take with me, one of them passed away in the months I was buying the shop. And he couldn't come to work for me, but we're learning it. We've hired some new guys. It's a tough thing. I think the new technology and the BMWs especially are very, very different, hard to learn. But we're moving forward in that we're doing these other cars, and I'm building our web presence for the other cars. right now we search excellent for Volkswagen Audi repair, but we've got to improve everything else, which is just a slow ride, and we're doing it.
Does that mean you have a second place, or did you integrate it?
No. I just bought his database for a very good deal. It was the best deal I ever got. I just bought his database, his phone number, and his old web address, which wasn't that great. And we marketed to his customers, that's all.
Ollie, take us to your biggest aha moment.
Biggest aha moment was probably in 2009. It was the best and worst year of my life. Let's see. Volkswagen of America decided we couldn't be called, I'm not even allowed to repeat it, but I'll say it, VW Depot. So we changed the name to just the word V Depot. Not VEE, just V Depot. And we bought the web address for a lot of money and built up a site. Went over with the lawyers from Volkswagen, who seemed so nice. 15 pages, over 15 pages of the site, explaining the way you can use it. Like, you can't say Volkswagen repair. It has to be repair for your Volkswagen, service for Volkswagen vehicles. So it's not mine. It's the owner of the car or Volkswagen's. I don't have a dealership, so I can't say that.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that if I go to a site and I see someone say that they repair Volkswagens, that's okay, but for you it isn't because of the litigation that you've had with them?
Well, you can't say you can't say we sell Levi's. That's not legal. You can say we sell Levi's jeans.
I see.
It has to be qualified that way. It's not yours. It's the possessive. It's not mine. I'm not a Levi's authorized distributor. I'm not an authorized Volkswagen dealer. That's why you'll see no emblems on my site. I never got in trouble for emblems because I knew about that. So 2009, we did, just doing Volkswagens, we did almost $2 million in business with 10 employees, which was incredible. And we had some unbelievable car count. And then we got sued by Volkswagen Audi, not only corporate, but personally. Personally is not monetary. Just an injunction saying I can't buy websites with their stuff in them anymore, which is understandable. But corporate-wise, they sued me. They actually sued the wrong corporation, which is pretty funny also. But we won't get into that now. It was a nightmare for a long time. And so business was unbelievable. My wife had come down with a case of MS. My dog was dying of cancer, my golden retriever. But business was unbelievable. And went through basically 2009 was a year of highs and lows because we had the best year ever. We moved our office, our warehouse, into a great building we built out in 2006. So this new building was the dream building. We put everything into it that we ever wanted. Two lifts for every tech, a huge lot we could park, 125 cars in. Very high-tech lighting. We had, just built the dream shop. The office was one of the first shops that had super nice waiting rooms. Not everybody does, but it was just,
So you went all out.
We went all out.
With the lawsuit, the personal struggles, and you were stronger and better for it.
It definitely builds your character. You learn that the law works this way. You are guilty so you can pay a lawyer to prove yourself innocent. So even though you just want to settle with them, you can't get much off them. But you have to sign this piece of paper that's horrible. So the only thing you can negotiate is this horrible signature that that you've got to sign that says you can't do so much stuff. It's unbelievable. So luckily that they gave us a little teeny bit of leeway, but it's really just we're not special. They do this around the country. The big companies go around to different places and they do the research, and whoever's got the best web presence, they sue them, and the other people they put fake lawsuits through, and they strong arm them.
Hey Ollie, there's a company out there, and I can't mention their name, by the way, and they've had some big problems with emissions of late.
Oh yeah, well, the funny part of the story is that we raced Volkswagens, and my buddy, who was a lawyer who paid for all the racing of the Volkswagens, is now one of the class leaders in the lawsuit against this alleged company that told a mistruth about their emissions.
Hey, your customers come to you and say, "Hey, Ollie, what gives?" What do you tell them?
Well, I'll tell you a couple of stories. We all know it's Volkswagen and Audi. And an ex-Formula One, a guy who built the TAG Porsche Formula One engine, who designed all the software and the engine, designed the software for this defeat device and made it. And Bosch said, "Listen, don't use this on passenger cars because this is just for testing purposes. Don't use it on passenger cars." They got emails with that.
Okay.
And you know, they knew better. And you know, now I've got customers say, "Hey, listen, what's going on here? I'm polluting the world." Well, you know, all they did was make the cars worth more, because if you look on eBay right now, it's the hottest things going. If you've got a late model TDI, you've got a car that's worth $1,500 to $2,000 more before the hullabaloo in such a short period of time, because people love the cars. They are really good cars. No one's denying that. But they pollute. How much they pollute, they say 40 times and all these other things. You know, what is 40 times? What does a V8 engine pollute going down the road, that a V8 engine that's 8 years old, 7 years old, going down the road? Or it's a larger capacity engine, so, you know, is it polluting 40 times more than they're allowed to? Possibly, but the amount of pollutants they put out, how much is that? So it's a good case. So then people are saying diminished value. Well, I don't think you have much diminished value. They're saying, what's going to happen when they fix the emissions? We're going to lose performance. Well, Volkswagen always understated their miles per gallon. I've always had customers. It's amazing how many customers track who own TDIs. They're the most anal retentive people in general. How much fuel they put in and how many miles they ran. It's very, very common. People watched it. Well, they always got more miles per gallon than was stated. Volkswagen understated their mileage, I think, for a reason. I don't know that for a fact, but I think they understated it for a reason.
Yeah.
So now when they go and fix this with software and maybe hardware, they're going to lose performance for sure. We don't know that for a fact, but it's – listen, Mazda tried heavily recently to build diesel engine cars, and they were not successful. I have a good friend of mine who were building racing diesel engines for Mazda, and they scrapped the whole thing. They spent a lot of money in the racing department. They scrapped this whole diesel program way before this happened, because they understood that it's not possible to get the proper performance with the proper emissions.
Let's go back to the shop for a moment. Ever have any problems finding good technicians?
That is the number one challenge, is getting technicians. The number one challenge I have, and the reason I don't have multi-shops, is because I'm not very good at hiring people. One of my biggest problems is hiring people. When I did Volkswagen Audi, I could run 110% efficiency. I run nowhere near that now. I'm embarrassed to say what I run now. It's terrible. So finding techs in this day and age is the hardest thing going. You know, you've got Mercedes, got a great program to bring apprentices in with working with a master. BMW has similar programs. I'm not sure of the other companies. But how many Mercedes-Benz owners would be upset if they knew the person working on their car is a kid straight out of technical school with no knowledge at all working on them?
Yeah, so there's technical schools in Florida. Did you ever bring on someone, or would you ever plan on bringing on someone to bring into an Ollie Mentor program?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm an alumni of Sheridan Vocational Center, so I'm supposed to have, and we actually contributed to them.
Okay.
But Southeast Toyota, which is the largest distributor, every car that comes in America, I think, has to go through the Southeast Toyota and Lexus. They sponsor that school. I think GM sponsors that school. So they cherry pick. Basically, they'll pay for the school.
I see. But part of the problem we've discussed on the podcast before, that some of the grads are going to the dealers because it sounds cool, like a plum thing. It's like, well, I'm going to work for the car dealer. But the car dealers are recruiting every year. And it's not like they're putting up more bays. Is that there's a big turnover? And a dean of a technical college said to me that the independents are not coming in to recruit. Do you go there and hang out with the seniors?
Well, I'll tell you what, I have a poster that says wanted dead or alive, alive preferably, BMW mechanic. You know, so they know it. I've visited my old school there. It's actually very close to my house. I don't think anybody at these technical schools, now, I don't know about the private schools, but the other schools, I know that if you put in a certain amount of years at the dealership, they'll pay for your school. So on the private schools, look at it. I mean, look at ATI, they advertise heavily for technicians, and you can get a full scholarship from the manufacturers. The manufacturers supply the materials for the school. So how's an independent going to get the guys out of the school there?
Well, maybe you bring on the grad after he's paid for school and make a deal if he or she sticks around so many months or so many hours or years of work, and you will contribute a portion back to the cost of college. If the hardest thing to do is to find a real quality person that you can teach and train your way, you may have to pay a premium price.
We've always done that. We've gotten I had a mechanic working for me for like 12 and a half, almost 13 years. He washed cars, and then he became one of the best mechanics I've ever met. He got really stressed out, and he actually moved back to South America with a pot full of money. And literally, a 32-year-old guy, virtually retired. I'm sure he'll do something down there. But he trained him. We have two other guys at our shop that are being trained by masters right now. And you know, we've got one apprentice working for us, and he seems, you know, I'm always very impressed when a guy takes the videos and books home to learn when he completes the courses. So we do a lot. You know, Volkswagen actually has a very good setup at parts.volkswagen.com for the individual shop owner can register there and can watch a lot of videos and a lot of training. We buy the training manuals all over the place for the same manuals that the techs use. I had a bad year a few years ago. Three of my techs defected and went to work for Audi for $33 an hour flat rate, and the service advisor got 3% of the net. So that's very hard to compete with. I mean, my techs are pretty highly paid. You know, I know some guys from Michigan, what they make up there, and they would love to get paid what they get paid in Florida. But, you know, to live down here is probably more expensive, I would imagine.
How many of us Northerners are coming to Florida every year?
I mean, a lot. I mean, I've got ads running on Craigslist in 8 different cities. I spend about $1,200 a month on ads for technicians and different things, which is a lot of money, considering we spend another 5 or 6% on advertising. You know, so
wow, that's up there. Wow.
We're constantly trying to find guys. We hired a guy recently, independent. I think there's a character flaw if someone's going to leave a new car dealership, quite honestly. I mean, you have a very good system there. I mean, AutoNation and Holman are paying a pretty high rate. It's usually the guys that that can't turn the hours or the guys that don't like the dealerships. I mean, I'm not saying that's for sure. Some people don't like all the bureaucracy.
Yeah, and that's where a lot of it is. They just don't like the systems, the bureaucracy. And there's an awful lot of great things to say about a small business person with a good culture and a good attitude.
Right. I mean, we seem to be like a gang. Once you work for us, it's very hard to quit.
Hey, what are you doing in the community?
We do a lot. My wife is very involved with Hollywood Outreach, which is we feed the homeless. On our website, we have a lot of things. I'm a dog person, so Coastal Poodle Rescue and
okay.
We like helping individual groups. Everglades Golden Retriever, we contribute to them. So we'll have a campaign running for a month.
Okay.
And we raised $3,300 for them, which was pretty nice. So also, I'm a big skateboarder. So I have a friend that helps kids with cancer.
Nice.
So we have a month thing where we go grindforlife.org. We're big on the Hollywood Women's Club. It's the oldest women's club in the country. So there's always something going on. And Joe DiMaggio's Children's Hospital, which is located blocks from our shop, which we have a lot of employees, a lot of customers who are employees there, we help them.
Excellent stuff. You mentioned skateboarding again, and I had a thought about these new hoverboards that I've seen people on this year. I read an article that says there's a lot of accidents. I'm sure with skateboarding, too, there's a ton of accidents. What's this phenom with the hoverboard? Have you been on one?
You know, I haven't. I've seen them. You know, skateboarding is, I mean, it's not like a fad or anything. It takes a light. You know, I skate on vertical. You know, I have a bowl. It's 48 feet long, 48 feet wide by 70 feet long. It's called Hollywood. And I skate on vertical. I don't skate street skate like the kids do nowadays. So I haven't broken a bone, knock on wood, and I feel our stuff is fairly safe. Most of my friends can fly 20 feet in the air and land and not kill themselves, you know? So I don't know about this hoverboard. What I do is reasonably safe.
Okay. Hey, now, you're still skating right now. What, after all these years, maybe
40 years now, yeah.
And you're a super...
Well, I'm 52 and I started when I was 14, so it's more than that.
Wow. Wow, obviously, yeah. And you're a superstar. Does the community know that about you?
Well, I don't know about the community. Like, South Florida's, when I go to California, it's a different story, but...
All right.
But I'll tell you what's amazing. It helps. I have a wall in the shop which just got some of the history on it. It definitely builds credibility that they know you're going to somebody who's – you can go to Wikipedia and see the person and understand their whole life story. I've lived in Hollywood, Florida my whole entire life. I've given back to Hollywood. I bought a house literally rock throw away from the house I grew up in. And my shop has been here the whole time.
Yeah, sure.
And we do stuff with the community. So, it's a tight knit. But I have a unique business. Until just recently, my average customer drove 12 miles to come to me. That means they didn't go to the clothes shop. I'm east near the beach.
Okay.
The majority of the people where we live in South Florida here are west, up until you get to the Everglades, of course. But if I was smart, I'd have a shop out west. But, you would be amazed what the rent is in the west part of Florida. You don't see a ton of small shops where the really high volume areas are by us. There are some, but $20,000 a month rent is a lot of money for rent. I don't care what size shop you have.
It sure is. If they're willing to drive, you're willing to service them, right?
There you go.
Hey, so Ollie, put your vision hat on. Where do you see yourself in the next 3 to 5 years?
I see ourselves positioned nicely in our market. We have a very loyal customer base. My dad taught me something. He retired at 40 years old. POMG, peace of mind guaranteed. If you take care of the customer, they'll come back and they'll tell two people. So I'm always about the average customer is worth about $1,920. That's in the past. I don't know about now. It's more because of different types of cars. So if you take care of your customers, you'll be in business for a long time.
Yeah.
My techs sometimes get upset at me saying, listen, I did nothing wrong. This person said something, and I'm sitting there and redoing that. And I just say, do it. I'll give you your hours for it. Customer's always right.
So, Ollie, give us some great words to live by.
Well, good words to live by. What I live by is treat people like you want to be treated. And by and large, I live a pretty easy life. I'm a simple man. I'm humble. When I go to these places where I'm semi-famous in skateboarding, I'm always hiding from people. I don't like attention. It's hard to believe that I'm not big on social media.
Well, Alan Ollie Gelfand, German Car Depot from Hollywood, Florida, and skateboarding legend and creator of the Ollie, I had a blast. Thanks for being here.
Well, I really appreciate you having me. I hope I fulfilled what you wanted to hear.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.